Doug Wright, covering Utah's biggest stories, breaking Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
He was successful in all of the medical checks, the psychological tests. He went through all of that with flying colors.
Andreas Lubitz is who they are talking about there, the 28-year-old co-pilot on this Flight 9525, German Wings, deliberately crashed in the French Alps. Wow. I'm still trying to grasp this. Whenever we get on an airliner, and I don't travel all the time like some people, but every year I'm on a few flights here and there, and you just absolutely have to trust those that are in the cockpit. And 144 people did. Five other crew members did. And Lubitz took them down, apparently. We are joined now by our 2nd District Congressman, Chris Stewart. And this morning, Chris, as I was thinking about this, I'm not familiar whether or not you have any commercial experience, but boy, certainly time in the air, expertise that goes above and beyond what most pilots ever dream of in the air. And I thought, not only as a legislator, not only as a pilot, but also somebody who served in the military, your thoughts on this, as you have digested this information, Chris, what's been going through your mind?
Well, Doug, I think the tone that you said is just, I think, what most of us are feeling, and that's just sad. The more we read about this, the more you see that it's more of a personal tragedy than we maybe were fearful of at first, and it shows the uncertainty of life, that's for sure. Like you said, when you go jump on that airplane, you're trusting your lives to those guys, and of course, the vast, vast majority of them are great pilots and very reliable, but these things happen, and you know, it's not the first time that this has happened. There's been other incidents where the pilots have intentionally crashed their airplane in what would be a suicide murder, and it's sad to see what's happening with our friends in Europe.
When you first heard about this, because as a non-pilot, but someone who, you know, reports on news stories quite often and walks through usually with experts, I always call them the minds immeasurably superior to mine, it's interesting the insights that people can give you. And boy, it wasn't very deep into this story that things just, red flags started flying all over the place, you know, an 8 to 10 minute descent. Last night when we learned that a pilot was actually locked out, but even before that, it seemed like something was horribly amiss here.
Yeah, I think that's right, Doug. I mean, just the fact it was a controlled descent, if there had been obviously a mechanical malfunction or perhaps an explosion of some sort, it would have been a very different scenario there. This is a regular 3-to-1 glide path. It would be the same type of descent any pilot would take in descending into any airport or landing facility from altitude. It's a kind of descent that's pre-programmed into the flight computer. So you watch that and you think, well, that makes no sense at all. But as soon as you heard of one of the pilots having exited the cockpit, then, you know, it began to fit together that this is probably something that we've been led to believe it is now. You know, in the Air Force, we had what we call a personal reliability program, PRP. And pilots particularly pilots who were associated with nuclear weapons programs were, and many others were as well, where we had this kind of a system where we tracked and monitored our personal lives, our financial health and well-being, our travel. And I'm not suggesting that airlines need that, but I think they probably ought to take a look at it because we've seen, as I said, a number of these incidents in the last few years, and unfortunately, we may not have seen the last of them.
Boy, when you are carrying nuclear bombs and you are very familiar with this protocol, boy, that does make sense. But you also wonder now, especially in light of this unfolding, whether or not perhaps protocol should be changed. One thing that we are hearing, Chris, and perhaps you know this, the FAA is saying that this scenario, if rules were being followed, would not happen on an American carrier or a plane flying to the United States or over the United States because it's required the two people be in the cockpit. If somebody is going to exit for whatever reason, for, you know, a drink, refreshment, say hello to an important passenger or to use the restroom, whatever it might be, that someone, perhaps the head flight attendant, would go into the cockpit with the pilot remaining. Is that your understanding? Is that the rule in the United States?
Yeah, well, first, Doug, let me say that I'm not an expert on FAA rules and regulations for civilian airliners. I never flew civilian. I never was an airline pilot. I was always a military pilot. But my understanding is what you said is true. Now, the pilots can leave the cockpit, and all of us have seen a pilot, you know, leave the cockpit, come to use the restroom. They have procedures there where they'll protect access to the cockpit while he is gone. It may not be airline specific. I think it is actually driven by FAA regulations whether someone has to be in the cockpit or not, and I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, this co-pilot, he had proactive measures in order to make this happen. The pilot could open the door at any time, but in this German aircraft, the pilot sitting in the cockpit can deny access. And, you know, there's obvious reasons for that. If someone under duress was outside and had access code, you'd want to be able to deny them access if you felt there was a threat entering. But, again, he had to proactively put this aircraft into a descent. There would have been all sorts of audio warnings and other indicators to the pilot that a train was coming up and a crash was imminent. It's very clear that the pilot in the cockpit, in my opinion, intended to do exactly what he did here. And I just don't know how you deal with that. I mean, the fact is the human element of this, you can never take that risk out of the process entirely. Yeah. You can design, you know, nearly perfect aircraft and systems, but there's always that human element. And in many cases, when we have accidents like this, it is the human element that failed, not the aircraft or mechanical failure.
I have heard that the French scrambled jet aircraft when it finally got to the point where they knew something was really, really wrong. If this had perhaps been aimed at a city or something of that, and I use the word aimed, obviously this was that, as you mentioned, controlled descent. Would they have just been shot out of the air if they hadn't been going into a mountain and if they had been, for example, landing in Paris or Dusseldorf or wherever?
Yeah, again, I think that's certainly a possibility, but I think it would depend on the situation and the rules of engagement for that country over which the threat was taking place. And that may vary from country to country within the EU. I don't know, Doug, but I mean, that shouldn't surprise us when we see what happened on 9/11, that someone would turn an aircraft into a weapon. And had this aircraft headed for a populated area, I think they would have had to have taken some action. And, you know, they would have used other aircraft in the area to try to communicate with the pilots. You know, the ground controllers would have assumed maybe there was some failure with their relay to the pilot, and so they would have had other airliners involved with trying to communicate as well. They would have taken advantage as much as they could of other assets in the area. But, you know, scrambling fighters in this case, you know, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, and boy, you know, and it depends on where they are. And, you know, this was an isolated area, just villages in the area. And what a horrible, horrible scenario. And Chris, I really do appreciate you, first of all, sharing the time, but also your expertise on this. And I always enjoy our conversations. It's sad it's on this topic today.